This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
WEEI Afternoons. That was the voice of Mike Giardi joining us a little bit earlier talking NFL draft. Good time to tell you that the draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. And by Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts, among hosts of this show, at least. So we're here at Fenway Park, Ted, but we're talking a little football. We're talking a little draft. And I actually want to get to some other audio that you're very excited about.
Well,
Stiz, you have some audio back there, I think, with Tom Curran.
No, I think one of the questions is who's in charge?
Yes.
Who's in charge? That's a big question. Who's in charge? And so people want to know, is this Elliott Wolf or is this Mike Vrabel's team? Who's got the final say? I don't, you know, there's a little gray area in what Tom Curran thinks. He's not really sure. Let's listen to what he has to say about this topic. Go ahead, Stiz.
I don't think I've seen anything that he's done, whether it be in Cleveland, whether it be here as a guy in the back seat pointing out to Bill what to do. They've been a disaster. The Patriots personnel department has been a disaster. Cleveland was a disaster when he was there. There's absolutely nothing to recommend Elliott Wolf as somebody who can identify talent. At the highest levels, never mind free agency. So to me, I have zero confidence in his ability to identify talent.
Actually, he was pretty clear on that. Now I think about it.
Ouch, man. Babe. Personal.
Is Elliott going to be invited into the room draft night? Is he going to be
invited in the building?
Does his card work to the stadium? I mean, those are strong comments from Tom. And you know what? And it's been consistent.
Oh, absolutely.
So. You just wonder, what do other higher ups in the building feel the same way Tom does? Because it would lead me to believe that.
So we know Tom Curran is tied in, connected, has good sources.
Oh yeah.
And I do this a lot with Mike Reese, Tom Curran, guys that I trust have sources. I wonder, is this their opinion or is this a very well educated opinion? Did they get some information? The one thing I would push back on just slightly, if I want to play devil's advocate, he did draft two quarterbacks last year that won games as rookies. Like,
yeah, and one of them he actually made a choice on.
The rest of the draft I'm choosing to ignore.
Drake May, he kind of just, that was a bit of a BPA, but.
Sure.
Yeah, right. So to give him credit for Drake May, that was the obvious choice.
But I'll give him Milton credit. That's fair.
You took a guy that no one else wanted for five more rounds, and he went out there and he won a game that screwed the organization.
Yeah, he's just following dad's game plan, you know.
Absolutely.
That's what his dad would have done. So I don't know. Hey, do we give him credit for that? I mean, I don't know. But
I tell you, Tom's not.
Yeah.
Tom's not giving him credit for anything.
I mean, look, you know what? As players, what I always like to know is who put the stamp on the player, because there are people behind the scenes. Some people are for this guy. Some people are for the other guy.
Right.
And I always wanted to know when I got drafted, who was the one pounding the table for Ted Johnson? And, you know, I found out, Charlie Army was that, Al Groh. I'm curious, the voices in the behind the scenes, whoever they draft in this year's draft, who was pounding the table for each of these players? I'll be curious to hear that. We'll never probably ever find out. Sometimes it comes out, but most times it doesn't.
And your guy, Mike Vrabel, has been talking multiple times here about what he finds interesting is when the coaches are pounding the table for a certain player and then the scouts are pounding the table for a different player and how that melds together. And the thing I was wondering there is, Mike Vrabel, we think, is making the decision, right?
Yeah, you know.
Is he a coach or is he a scout?
He'll consider himself both.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll consider himself a talent evaluator.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been watching football tape his whole life, Daniel. So he knows what he's looking for. I would rather the coaches be honest. You know, the scouts just give me the information, give me the data, and then let the coaches decipher the data and watch the film and decide ultimately who gets picked. That would be how I would run it.
All offseason, we've asked the same question about who really is in charge, because you have Vrabel, who comes in, who seems like he's anointed into the Bill Belichick position that you know very well, of not only coaching the team but making the football operations decision.
Yep.
It's never been outwardly confirmed that he's that guy, and the one thing that's standing in Vrabel's way of being the football czar that Tom Curran was asking for is the one holdover, the one main holdover in Elliott Wolf.
And Matt Groh, so we forget him.
But. Yes, we do. So, I can lump Groh into this, but this feels to me like laying the groundwork if you have a 6 or 7 win season and maybe you do all right, but you're still not a playoff team. It feels like it's laying the groundwork to me for Mike Vrabel to take over and run the entire show ahead of the 2026 season. Well, that's what I get from this.
I part of it is what happened last year when it was a collaboration.
Right.
It failed so epically.
Yeah.
That really was favored Mike Vrabel in a lot of ways. He probably knew that he had leverage. He had other teams wanted him. The Patriots really only wanted Mike Vrabel. So he leaned in probably hard on getting certain things in writing that gave him more power than you maybe would think a first-time, not head coach, but a first-time head coach for this franchise getting, if you know what I'm saying.
But is that a good thing, given his history in Tennessee?
I would, yes. Absolutely, because I don't know how much power he had in Tennessee.
So that vagary helps him there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's going to have the puppet that he will be the puppeteer of. What's the first thing they did after they hired him? Brought in Ryan Cowden.
Yep.
There's your football executive that will wear some kind of hat that will execute whatever Mike Vrabel wants.
Yeah, and right, we're not going to have issues week 8 when this team starts off, I don't know, 2-6 and go, who do we blame, right?
Yeah.
Those days are done.
Do you blame the Patriots Hall of Famer, or do you blame the one holdover from the regime that just created one of the worst rosters that we've seen in a very long time?
Well, I do think you have a ready-made scapegoat if you're Mike Vrabel.
If
the draft goes well, Vrabel's new regime and tenure is off to a great start. And if it doesn't go well, well, we should probably get rid of the guys who've been not doing very well for 3 or 4 years with Belichick, with Mayo, with me. Maybe it's them. We get rid of them. We'll be okay.
Which is why that clip that we played does feel a little bit like slightly informed. Just put this out there and get the narrative out there a little bit.
And my guess is probably coaches to some degree want some vagueness, some ambiguity.
Sure.
So no one really knows who to point and fire at, because it could be multiple people. And so they probably like it that way, so you can't just focus in on one person.
And we're always going to have some question. You said it. We like the classic example was Mac Jones, right? The Mac Jones. Mac Jones was the video one, right? Where Bill said, like, hey, Matt, you okay? And Matt, you good? Like, he was like polling the room like it was a
so group. Passive aggressive.
Absolutely.
So passive aggressive.
But like, that was a show he was putting on, but there was a reason behind that, and that's a separate issue for a separate day. But we're always going to have a little bit of a, you wanted to know, right? As a player, you wanted to know who pounded the table for you. Yeah. So you, like, even in the building, you kind of had to wait till you found out about your own self.
So Mac Jones gets here, he sees that video, and he's like, okay, great, the head coach doesn't really even want
right.
It. It's just
some guy named Matt okayed it.
Yeah, the owner forced my head coach to draft me. Great.
So, Ted, there's one other thing we need to get to here. So Ashton Jeanty is Fitzy's pick at one of the days where he had a pick. And it was
he actually strung them together 2 days in a row. He spun the draft wheel, and Ashton Jeanty came up twice in a row.
And we're at this point in the year. I don't know if you guys saw this on social media last night. 5'8" Ashton Jeanty was dunking a basketball, making the rounds on social media.
No, looked like you.
Yeah, if I could dunk.
Yeah,
looked like me if I could dunk. You don't have to laugh that hard. What are you laughing at?
Oh, no, I just, the muscles on that guy.
I could grab rim in high school.
You have some little muscles, some Mighty Mouse
I
muscles.
I think I'd be little.
Get out of here. You could that grab rim.
What are you laughing at
school
out there? Are you on the sidewalk laughing at me now?
You could touch the rim, though?
Oh, yeah, I could dunk a marble.
Okay.
So I could dunk something.
I can believe that.
I had ups back then. Anyway, this is about Ashton Jeanty, not me. Ashton Jeanty is a
popular talking point, because some people now are saying, is he the best player in the draft? Is he the high, like, and you need offensive weapons, and he's a he's a true weapon. He had the whole letter, draft the guy that no one can tackle kind of. Listen, you went to Boise State. Let's not pretend you did it at Alabama and won a national title.
You weren't playing against people that could tackle you.
Fitzy's all over the map. Where are you on Ashton Jensen?
I'm out. I'm out on him.
Totally?
Give me, so, yeah. No, well, I'm saying if I want Tyler Warren over him.
Okay.
I want Will Campbell over him, right? I want Jamon Walker over him.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And part of it is, you know, it's kind of laid out for you. You know, some of the highest picks, right, running backs in recent history. If you look at the most recent highest pick, Bijan Robinson, 2023. He's got 3,300 yards so far and 23 touchdowns, but the Falcons haven't made the playoffs. Saquon Barkley did nothing with the Giants, and he was the second overall pick until he goes to the Eagles, and then we saw what happened. Leonard Fournette was the fourth overall pick. He was released after three seasons with the Jaguars. Christian McCaffrey, a eighth overall pick for the Panthers. He lost two seasons to injury and only made the playoffs once in 6 years. Ezekiel Elliott, six productive seasons, but never did much in the playoffs. So on and on and on. Todd Gurley, same thing. Trent Richardson, we know how that worked out. CJ Spiller. So all of these really big name running backs that have gone high in the draft, you see what their success was with their teams, pretty much nada. Mm-hmm. And so I think Tyler Warren is a more impactful offensive player for this quarterback, this team, this offense than Ashton Jeanty would be, Dan.
A running back more times than not is something that I kind of look at as an accessory pick. If you're a team that's ready to win, let's add a dynamic running back to our offense, and that adds another element to a team that we already knew was going to be good. Prime example being the Giants. The Giants took a running back despite having nothing on their offensive substance, and there are a lot of guys that you mentioned that were in that same situation, and then funny enough, they get moved to a team that's ready to win, and all of a sudden these guys have better offensive lines, they're in better offenses, and now they're having these career seasons. So I don't find the Patriots in a situation where their offense is good enough yet. Give it a year or two, add to the offensive line, maybe find another wide receiver, fine. But it seems like too much of a shoehorning pick to put a running back
in. And even
there.
Dan and Andy, you even look at what Christian McCaffrey did nothing. You didn't hear about Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. He goes to the 49ers, all of a sudden they're competing for Super Bowls.
So let me just
great offensive line
throw something else out there.
Yeah.
Because we are comparing Vrabel and Tennessee.
We are.
And people were, when he first arrived, somebody asked him about, like, well, you ran the ball all the time. He's like, well, my best player was a running back, Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play into your thought process? Could he be seeking his Derrick Henry where he could just be the bell cow guy who I'm going to give the ball to 300 times?
I got an answer for that.
You guys are pointing at each other. Yeah. Why don't you talk?
Well, I want Dan to get his words in today. Who was the quarterback for Tennessee when Derrick Henry was the running back?
Ryan Tannehill,
right? Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh, please.
Not a great quarterback.
Compared to what I look, Drake May, I get it. He's only won one game. There's a lot of people that are unsure about Drake May. They're not really convinced, which is still shocking, but that's okay. They're fans. They, you know, they go by wins and losses. I watched Drake May play, guys, and I think he's special. I think he's a special player. I don't think Ryan Tannehill can touch the abilities that Drake May has. And so I think it's going to be a different deal here. So you can't really compare the two, in my opinion, because I don't think the quarterbacks are even comparable.
I would also just, you know, the physicals of the two guys, Derrick Henry is built like you.
Yeah.
He's a true mountain of a workhorse running back.
Yeah.
Genty's great, but he's 5'8", 211. He's not really that. And I would also say Derrick Henry's one of the great outliers in NFL history. The way he's been after year after year after year, and even he kind of fell into a nice spot in
Leonard Fournette was a transformational whatever player. Like him and I think he was in the same draft as Jadeveon Clowney. They were like people thought they could go from high school to the pros instead of in missed college. And we saw how his career turned out, you know? So it's they don't have longevity, and I don't think it's worth reaching for a running back at that spot.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, there's the talk radio sexy side of it, me, that wants to say, that'd be fun. Running back that you think could win Rookie of the Year, and he and Drake May, oh my God, we got these young gun weapons. But getting back to, I'm trying to build a football team, I'm trying to be good long term, is there a high likelihood if you take Genty at four that he makes you? Because I loved Bijan Robinson more than anybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's a good player. And what are the Falcons?
You're just not in a position
in a bad division. Not making the playoffs.
You're just you're just not in a position yet with your roster to make a pick that is construed as risky.
And
that's a risky pick.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs goes to the Lions, the team that is invested heavily in the offensive line and has built the other stuff
as receivers, past tense,
quarterback, everything's built.
Right.
Now he can play his role and you're like, ooh, that guy's a fun playmaker. Yeah, that's great. What'd you call it? A complimentary piece earlier?
Yeah, or accessory. Same deal.
Jahmyr Gibbs is an accessory who fits perfectly for the Lions.
No doubt.
You put Jahmyr Gibbs on the Patriots, and we're saying, what a wasted pick that was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's where you are with Ashton Genty. He'd be a fun pick, and I think we'll all love to watch him. You might want to pick him on your fantasy team if he ends up on a team that has a good offensive line, whatever, but probably not here.
Do we think they're going to go back to the third down back? You know, you have a first and second down back, and then you have the traditional, like, that was Josh's favorite formula for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And the list of the, and not just Josh, it started with Charlie and worked its way up a little bit.
Right.
The scheme and the system.
Right.
And then it fell out of favor or didn't work. And you actually had a couple of years ago, Stevenson kind of did both. He caught 68 passes, I think, led the team in receptions. Might have been why he got worn down and doesn't have a lot of tread left on the tire now.
You have to try to baby-proof Ramondre Stevenson as much as possible. So I think even if that's the reason you bring a guy in.
So maybe James White, who's announcing a pick in the fourth round? Middle of the draft. James White, former, is announcing one of their picks.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't it be convenient if he announced a speedy, pass-catching third down back?
I would love that. I would love that. But we got our first and second down backs already.
Yeah.
We don't need our first. We need give me a third down back that can pick up blitzes and get open in the flat or beat a middle linebacker in man to man on third and, you know, seven all day in that third, fourth round kind of spot right there. I would love a guy like that on his team.
Before we wrap this segment up, I'm intrigued. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Jim in Mansfield, it just says John Kraft. So what are your thoughts on John Kraft, Jim?
Yeah, listen, Jim? I think you guys discount. Hi. Are you there?
I'm there.
Okay. I think you guys discount the Kraft's business sense in the way they built their empire as being businessmen. And Jonathan Kraft has been in the Patriots, the football business now, since coming out of the womb, basically. And he, I think, has learned how to run a football team. And when you talk about who makes the last call, who is the guy that's making the last call? I think the reason why nobody is saying it's me or it's him or it's them, I think it's because it's Jonathan Kraft. Maybe Jonathan and Bob Kraft, let's say it that way. But I think ultimately Jonathan Kraft is going to run this football team. And when it comes down to Vrabel and anyone else, I think ultimately they're going to need Jonathan Kraft.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim. Ted, since you were the most intimate in that organization for a while, do you think John Kraft is making the final call as they head toward the draft next week?
No, I do not.
I don't either.
Not on the players.
Nope.
Not on the play. The only time the owner it gets to the ownership level is that first round pick, and usually deciding on if on quarterbacks.
Right.
That's when they get involved in the draft. Other than that, the owners have no impact on who they actually draft.
Right. And I would probably throw in maybe the Milton Williams contract for 100 and whatever million dollars. Maybe that is a little more.
You got to run that by the
right.
bosses.
That's a big number.
They
to
probably
write.
Greenlit the spending, just the amount of spending
correct.
That you
sure,
saw.
Sure.
But how it's executed,
Mike Vrabel's running
that.
The Patriots.
I yes.
think we can.
Well, they like their one football guy. They had their one football guy they turned to for their CEO of football for 20-something. You want to talk about business sense.
Ted's right.
Yeah.
The collaboration of the last couple of years has been a colossal failure.
Yeah.
You picked fourth in the draft, right? You won four games and you were picking three or four in the draft. So collaboration failed them miserably. It wouldn't be crazy for them to go, how about we go back to that thing that worked where we just had one guy who was smart and made a lot of good decisions?
Yeah. All they want is, you guys ever see, have you seen this recent series on HBO called The Agency? It's about, you know, CIA, you know, spy craft, that kind of thing. Well, it's the whole world of spy craft is just trying to get somebody in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That with a mic or they can get intel. And so you're always trying to just, you know, develop, you know, your people to get into these rooms that you can get, you know, information from. Oh, it's all craft. That's all Elliot. He's like a spy craft. He's like a little spy for the crafts.
Elliot's wearing the wire.
Yeah. So that's all. He's other than that, he's just there to observe, listen, and then report back to the bosses. That's it. Other than that, he's got really no real job requirement.
Tom Curran and Ted Johnson, not real high on the value of Elliot Wolf within the Patriots organization. Up next, we need to talk about another guy whose value is in question. That would be Jeremy Swayman, but it would also be McAvoy, your would-be captain and your defenseman who was injured. We're going to talk about his comments to the Boston Globe and The Athletic about what went down at Four Nations, how he ended up injured and infected, and the season just going miserably for his team. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, you got what's trending.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.